Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
Saint Benedict once said, "Show me how a person spends their time, and I will tell you who or what they worship." I'll say that again. Show me how a person spends their time, and I will tell you who or what that person worships. Say, for example, there's a person out there that's preoccupied with wealth. They're constantly thinking about money. They're obsessed with making more and more money. They're constantly watching their investments. They're checking on them throughout the entire day. They watch programs. They read the Wall Street Journal. They are constantly, throughout the entire day, from morning until night, obsessed with their investments. Even in the middle of the night, as they're lying in bed, they're thinking about how much money they made that day and how much more they'll be able to make the next day. They constantly are looking at their expenses to cut them. They give no money away. They hoard it all for themselves for the express purpose of increasing their wealth and their power. Does this person truly worship God? There's another person out there. They're preoccupied with status. They're constantly thinking about themselves, about being noticed by others. You know, do people really think highly of me? Am I making a good impression with people? How about that party last night? You know, did I make a good standing or a good impression with the people? Do they think well of me? They're constantly thinking of themselves throughout the entire day. Again, even at night, they're constantly thinking, do people really notice me? Do they hold me in a high regard? What do people really think of me? Do they really worship God? Or is this person actually worshiping their ego? And yet there's another person out there who's concerned about their faith in God. They're concerned about their relationship with Christ. And in doing so, each and every day of their life, throughout the entire day, they constantly are trying to live a good Christian life. They are trying to live by the virtues, patience, prudence, charity, compassion, forgiveness. They are constantly trying to serve God as well as others in this world. Does this person worship God? I would say yes. Now, why is this important? Well, because sacred scripture for this weekend, in all three of the readings, God is calling people. He's calling Amos to be a prophet. He's calling the apostles and sending them out on mission. And he's calling us. Now, depending upon who or what we worship will determine whether or not we can answer God's call. Go into the first reading from the book of the prophet Amos. And here we see Amos being called by God to be a prophet. It says, "The Lord took me from the following the flock and said to me, 'Go, prophesy to my people Israel.'" Now we have to understand, in the ancient world, most of the prophets were part of a religious establishment, you know, similar to the tribe of Aaron, which produced all the priests. Well, most prophets received some sort of formal training. Most were well educated in matters of the Torah, tradition, as well as the customs of the Jewish faith. But Amos here, he openly admits he didn't receive any of this type of training. In fact, he admits he's just an ordinary person like you and I. That's why he says, "I was no prophet, nor have I belonged to a company of prophets. I was a shepherd and a dresser of sycamores." Amos is a shepherd and he's a tree trimmer. He's just an ordinary person. And yet God peers deep within inside of his soul. And he sees something very special in Amos, and he knows that he can be a prophet. So God equips him for that and then calls him. And then Amos responds to that call. And see, this is important for us to know. Amos, with faith and trust in God, he answers the call, and he becomes a prophet. In fact, he becomes one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. Now, fast forward to the gospel. We see something similar happening with Jesus and the apostles. Jesus calling the apostles and now sending them out on mission. It says, Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. Now, were the apostles qualified for this? Well, probably not. Like Amos, they were common people, like you and I. Andrew and Peter, they were fishermen. They were small business owners. They owned their own boat. Matthew was a tax collector. James and John helped their father in the boat. They were also small business owners. Now, were they well educated? Some were, some weren't. Peter, in fact, was illiterate. He could not read or write. In fact, it was Mark who wrote most of his letters. In fact, some scripture scholars would argue the Gospel of Mark was actually Peter dictating it to him and Mark feverishly writing it down. Were the apostles trained in public speaking or apologetics, defending the faith? Well, probably not. And yet, God peered into their souls, just like with Amos, and he saw something very special in them. He saw that they could do this work. And so he equipped them to do it, and then he called them, and the apostles answered the call. And again, this is important. The apostles, with faith and trust in Christ, they answered the call. And nonetheless, regardless of their lack of training, they were successful. That's why it says at the end, the 12 drove out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them all. They were very successful. God knew that they would be. Again, God equipped them to succeed and carry out this mission. Now notice Jesus' instruction for them. It says he instructed them to take nothing for the journey but a walking stick. No food, no sack, no money in their belts. They were, however, to wear sandals, but not a second tunic. What's the implication here? The apostles had to be totally dependent upon God for everything, not just their mission and their ministry, but for the very essentials of life, food, water, shelter, a safe place to sleep. They had to completely rely upon God for everything. And see, that's the key. They surrendered to the power of the Holy Spirit. And because of that, they were successful. They didn't rely upon their own skills and abilities. Instead, they relied upon God to help them succeed, and he did. So too must we. When we were baptized, we too were called by God. And we were equipped for the mission. As part of the baptismal ritual, after the baptism, the child will be anointed on the crown of his head with the sacred chrism oil. And then the priest will say to the child, you have been called to now fulfill your baptismal roles as priest, prophet, and king. And those baptismal roles we must live out every day of our life. Now, what does that mean to be priest? Well, priest means sanctification, holiness. We are always striving to live a good and holy life. Every day of our life. King. Well, what do kings do? They lead people, don't they? Well, we must lead people to God and to his church. Finally, prophet, which means we preach the word of God to the world, especially to those people who haven't heard the word of God. Like Amos and the apostles, you know, we have no formal training to be a prophet. You know, many of us have not studied theology in depth. Many of us have not been trained in apologetics or public speaking. But nonetheless, you know, these are our baptismal roles, especially the role of a prophet. And see, God, like the apostles and like Amos, he peers deep within inside of our soul, and he sees something very special there in each and every one of us. And he knows that we can fulfill these roles. Furthermore, he equips us to succeed in fulfilling these roles. See, that's what Paul is getting at in the second reading from Ephesians. Notice what Paul says. In him we were also chosen, destined in accord with the purpose of the one, being God, who accomplishes all things according to the intention of his will. See, Paul is just reaffirming what is happening in the gospel as well as in the first reading with Amos. God equips us for the mission of being a prophet. How does he do that? Well, the sacraments. First baptism, then reconciliation, Eucharist, and finally confirmation. You know, with those sacraments, now we have the power. Now we are fully equipped to carry out these roles and succeed in doing them. Now you say to yourself, well, I can't be a prophet in this world. You know, I can't stand on some soapbox on some street corner preaching the word of God to complete strangers. Well, this is not what Jesus or Paul is intending here in the scripture readings. Instead, what they really are intending for us is for us to be 21st century prophets. Allow our conduct, our behavior, to speak volumes for who we are, who is at the very center of our life, and who we truly worship. St. Francis would always tell his monks, especially his young monks, preach the word of God every day of your life, and if necessary, use words. I'll say that again. Preach the word of God every day of your life, and if necessary, use words. Essentially, what he meant was, actions speak louder than words. If we truly are trying to live a good Christian life, if we truly are trying to live the virtuous life every day of our life, live the virtues of patience, prudence, charity, compassion, forgiveness, then it speaks volumes to the entire world that we truly are disciples of Christ. Christ is whom we worship and no other. See, that's why the sacred scriptures, all three of them for this weekend, remind us that we are called from the moment of our baptism, we are called by God to be a prophet. Now, like Amos and the apostles, we don't really feel qualified, do we? But the key is to place our faith and our trust in God, just like the apostles and Amos did. See, then we can answer God's call. From the moment of our baptism, God peered within our soul and saw something special in each and every one of us. He equipped us for the mission, and so now we are capable to succeed in carrying it out. Go back to that phrase that I gave you at the very beginning from St. Benedict. Show me how a person spends their time, and I will show you or tell you who or what that person worships. Well, if we truly spend our time trying to the best of our abilities, living out a good Christian life, if we truly are trying every day of our life to live a virtuous life, then yes, that speaks volumes to the entire world who we worship and who is at the very center of our life, Jesus Christ. And the great thing about this whole thing, we don't have to utter one word to anyone. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.